20 minutes past four. On Tuesday, the DG Murray Trust, in collaboration with Change Ideas and the Hold My Hand campaign, held the inaugural Metro Lives Dialogue in District 6 in Cape Town. The dialogue is meant to create, was created to start a public conversation about how South African cities and municipalities can improve the lives of children, young people, and families. The dialogue series is scheduled to continue across South African metros, with the next events taking place in Johannesburg and in Durban. To tell us more about this, the CEO of the DG Murray Trust, Dr. David Harrison. Always a pleasure, David. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Kuketso.
The first inaugural Metro Lives Dialogue. I mean, we are at a time in our country right now, David, where we are a few months ahead of the local government elections. The need for us to remember the relationship between municipalities, metros, with us as citizens. What is the driving hand behind this particular series of dialogues, and how did it kick off on Tuesday?
Yeah, we've certainly got the local governments in mind. And I think the point we need to start with is that the most important third of our population can't vote. That's children under the age of 18. Let me just start with a thought experiment for your listeners.
Yes.
There are 3,000 children born in South Africa today. Now, imagine if every one of those 3,000 born today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next, and enough love and food and safety and brain power development today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next, what would the future of the country be? It would be fundamentally changed within two decades. So the point that I'm making is that it's the experience of life of a child today that is going to determine our country's future. And yet children are often not even regarded in the politics of any election, let alone those of local government. And let's remember that local government, Section 157 of the Constitution, makes local government responsible for a safe and healthy environment for people to grow up.
That is so significant, David, because ordinarily, whenever we talk of local government, we think service delivery, and we find ourselves being even more specific in what we are talking about when we're talking about service delivery. But that service is being delivered to the people, and who are the people? And in looking at the people, bring us back to this focus of children. How do you not have a government, irrespective of which level it is, not caring for children? What has emerged in the first of these discussions?
Well, what is clear is that there are some very specific things that local government needs to do to get children on the right track, and that needs to start from pregnancy. So people suddenly started to understand, wait a minute, local government has got a responsibility even for nutrition, even for example in ensuring that community gardens can be supported, that families can have access to some sort of resources and some sort of opportunity for local food production. But people started to understand that local government is responsible for liquor trading hours and for the number of liquor outlets that are allowed close to schools. You've spoken about services like water and sanitation. We know how critical that is. If there's dirty water, when children get diarrhea, they lose their food out of the guts. They end up very, very sick. Even early learning, people suddenly realize, wait a minute, there's a responsibility for local governments to ensure that there are facilities for early learning programs and to take many of the obstacles out of the way of early learning programs to be able to register. And finally, they realize that local government is responsible for safe spaces, for recreation, for not only for children, but for teenagers. So people really centered on these key elements that are the responsibility of local government for children to thrive.
It sounds to me, David, that there's this opportunity for us, again, ahead of the local government elections, in on the one hand, in reflecting on what the current government has done in our respective spaces, or the future government post the beginning of November, to look at their actions, to look at their plans, to look at what they're promising through the lens of the child and the young person and the young family, and across the different spheres that make up this person or make up these people, and how I'm reminded of the words of the late former President Nelson Mandela, paraphrasing here as we celebrate his birthday, that a society is judged by the way in which it treats its children. So how can we not look at the state of or what they do through the lens of how they treat young people and children?
Yeah, and I mean, we need to understand the potential power that we could unleash in this country if we did what I said at the beginning. If we really allowed the next generation of children to grow up, not with fancy stuff. I mean, what I'm talking about is love and food and safety. I mean, these are the basic building blocks of life. Now, if we provided that to these children, something that we didn't provide to Madiba's, Madiba's children, and by that I mean all the children who were born just post 1994. But now we can provide it to their children, and if we do that, we'll fundamentally change the country. And so the point is, as you say, the point is that every single listener today could help to make that happen, but by requesting the political parties that are participating in local government, by asking them, where are children in your manifesto? What are you doing? How clear is your vision? How concrete are your plans to ensure that these very basic inputs, building blocks for life and for thriving, are provided to every child regardless of where they live?
We're in conversation with Dr. David Harrison, DG Marie Trust CEO, speaking of what was on Tuesday, the first inaugural Metro Lives dialogue. And David, we, of course, I've mentioned how you're going to be taking this matter to different metros across the country. There's events taking place in Johannesburg and in Durban. Who is invited to these dialogues, or who should insist to be part of these dialogues?
Absolutely anybody and everyone who has the interests of children at heart, and certainly can go to Change Ideas on the DGMT website. Change Ideas, if you Google that, it should come up, and you'll be able to find out when you'll be able to join. And it's not only in person, it's also for people online. And we absolutely want to build a constituency of people, not the usual suspects, but ordinary listeners that are serious about children, who can begin to engage with their ward councillor right across the country. DGMT can't do that. But imagine if we could harness the network of listeners across the country to ensure that political parties make children at the center of their efforts come the November elections.
I think what you said is so significant. As they come knock on our doors, as they make promises that they do, the question should be asked, what does your manifesto say about the children? What is it that you stand for when it comes to the future of young people, young families in our respective cities? As always, David, we appreciate your time and the work that you're doing at DGMT.
Thanks so much, Kuketo.
Thank you, Dr. David Harrison, the DG Marie Trust CEO, speaking to us about the first inaugural Metro Lives Dialogue. And as he said, to find out more information, you can go to Change Ideas on the DGMT's website, that is dgmt.co.za.